Our text for this morning's meditation is from Philippians chapter 1, these words. So that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if there is an issue that is more pressing within our lives nowadays, it must be that of what we approve, right? I mean, is there an issue that is more obvious to all than that? Of what we approve, what we think is right, especially what we approve as being excellent? Isn't the cancel culture, for example, driven partially by unmasking and then damning those from society, ostracizing and driving them from their schools and businesses, those who approve of what is not thought to be excellent and not approve of what is thought to be excellent, at least by society? That is, as far as society is concerned, the media, the internet, the word on the street. For what is popular culture in general but an agreement, an affirmation, the approval by millions of people of what is believed to be excellent and what is believed not to be? In academia, it's the acceptance of or rejection of popular philosophies, ideas, concepts that really can split a campus into warring factions of one type or another as what is to be approved as excellent. Well, it's up for debate, isn't it? But approving what is excellent, it's not simply a matter of pop culture or ivory-towered academia, but it's part of the human experience in general. Already, as elementary school children, for example, we form friendships with other children as we discovered that they thought the same things about, that is, they approved to be excellent the same people, the same toys, and the same television shows that we did. Fans of sports teams function in the same way. Those of one specific team all agreeing that their team is somehow unique and special, even excellent in its own way, even if it constantly posts a losing record. To be a fan of a team, all that is needed is simply the judgment stated publicly that such a team is excellent. And that judgment on our part for all to see by our logoed t-shirts and our hats and our coats and our bumper stickers. In general, we could say that we all approve of what we think is excellent. And then we gather together with those of the same opinion to affirm our approval. So hobbies and pastimes and interests shared with others. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that unless that of which we approve to be excellent is not. It's not excellent. It's not God-pleasing. It's not a fruit of righteousness, but an outgrowth of unrighteousness. So the inner conflict of the Christian, our inner conflict, the world demanding, that is pop culture and academia, the internet, our friends and family even, that we approve of what they have deemed to be excellent, even if it's contrary to the law of God, law of love. And in our not approving of what they deem to be excellent, we find ourselves to be canceled, ostracized, and even deemed to be unloving, hateful members of society who should be driven to its fringes where we will no longer be of any import or usefulness. A modern trend? Not so much. Not so much. During the Russian Revolution in the early 20th century, for example, and its aftermath of decades, millions of people were killed or sent to the work camps. The Gulag spread throughout Siberia, the Gulag Archipelago, it was dubbed. They were sent to those camps because they approved as being excellent the wrong thing. Or not approved as being excellent the right thing. And unfortunately, what was deemed to be right and deemed to be wrong often in Russia at that time would flip overnight, depending on who had come into some sort of authority, either locally, regionally, or even nationally. Now, perhaps you've had a similar experience in your place of work, where with a new leadership comes in, a new way of speaking, new words to use, new phrases to deploy that demonstrate that you are on board and approving of the new direction of the company. I mean, we could go on and on and on here with example after example as to how the issue our text addresses, that is, that what we as Christians approve to be excellent is truly a pressing matter. And it has been a pressing matter for a very long time. So important for us, first of all, is to realize that it is a matter. It does matter. It does matter what we declare to be good and what we declare to be bad. It does matter what we say is right and what we say is wrong. It does matter what we assert should be done and what we assert should not be done. Whether or not the world agrees with our assessment. For when the Holy Spirit in Paul's letter to the Philippians asserts that our love abound more and more, that love which is to abound more and more among Christians, that love is a love that is expressed not willy-nilly, not in whatever way we wish to express that love, but Christian love should be expressed with knowledge. And Christian love should be expressed with discernment so that we, of all people within the world, will indeed approve of what is excellent. Now the core, the heart of what is most excellent is that which expresses love. Love as defined by the Ten Commandments. So deemed as most excellent is when we have no other gods except the triune God. And we don't misuse his name, and we gladly hear his word. What is deemed as excellent is when we honor our parents and we physically support our neighbor. We help our neighbor improve and protect his possessions and income. And we protect our neighbor's reputation. And we don't long and yearn for his things and the people that he knows. Such actions on our part are good actions, even excellent actions, all of which should be praised, honored, encouraged, that is, approved as excellent. What the world would praise and honor and encourage as most excellent, however, be something most radically different, can't it? And that hasn't gone unnoticed by the Christian church. For example, back in the 60s and 70s, there were some Christians who believed they could have it both ways. That is, they could live as Christians and yet approve of what the world approved as excellent. But that really didn't work out, did it? Yes, they knew that in Romans Paul wrote, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Yes, this verse was known in the 60s and 70s, but how it should be understood was another matter. For, they reasoned, how can the world be brought to Christ if Christians themselves do not go out into the world and agree with the world as to what is good and acceptable and perfect? Or in the words of our text, excellent. So it was thought, and it's still thought by many. But that's, of course, not what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. Jesus didn't reach out to Zacchaeus, for example, that tax collector who had cheated so many people out of so much money. Jesus didn't approach Zacchaeus by himself first, cheating people out of their money, to somehow come to an understanding of the life of Zacchaeus. Jesus didn't reach out to the Samaritans by denying the fact that he was a Jew, and that the temple in Jerusalem was the temple of the one, the true, the only living God. Jesus didn't reach out to the Romans by himself buying a chariot and riding around the Sea of Galilee in majesty and power, as it was the custom of the Romans to do. Jesus didn't reach out to the world. Jesus did not live within the world by himself calling excellent what the world deemed to be so. Instead, Jesus brought to the world that which actually was. That which actually was excellent. And that is the love of God, which through him would cleanse all mankind of their sin. Their sin of a lack of knowledge and discernment as to what actually should be deemed to be excellent. I mean, it's a flaw within us, isn't it? It's a flaw within us. The lack of capacity to discern what is excellent and what is not with perfection and consistency. I mean, I think we have all at one time or another in our lives deemed one thing or another to be excellent and good, only later to realize that we were wrong. Friends of our family, when I was a child, for example, could not wait. They just could not wait to take us to a restaurant in their small town in Wyoming, a restaurant that served only pie. And the servers of that pie, they were good-looking, healthy, clean-cut teenagers with the best of manners. Now, that was really something to see back in the early 1970s, those of you who remember that period. Well, our friends were all excited about that restaurant, and the pie was indeed very good, and the service was indeed very wonderful. But as it turned out, the restaurant was run by a cult. And all the teenagers there were runaways who had fallen under its control and had been brainwashed. What was thought to be one thing was actually another. And even when it came to Jesus, his own disciples struggled as to his identity, as to who he was and what he was going to do. Son of the living God? Yes. The one who would suffer and die on the cross for the sins of the world? No. The one who would rise again from the dead? Of course not. Who does that? Jesus was for them the political leader, the revolutionary who was going to throw off the Roman yoke off their Jewish necks, but they were wrong. And we can be wrong. Struggling as we do with the sin that adheres to us to approve of what is excellent in all knowledge and discernment. But that does not mean that we don't try. In fact, the Holy Spirit is sent to us to give us the courage, the fortitude to do just that. Being washed and regenerated and renewed by the Holy Spirit, our sins daily forgiven through faith in Christ. When we were baptized into our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we became, in the words of the Apostle Peter, a part of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Now listen up. That we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, how can we proclaim the excellencies of God, our loving Heavenly Father, if we can't even discern what they are? Returning to where we began this morning with the world around us only too willing nowadays to cancel anyone who does not approve of what it thinks is most excellent. Perhaps we do stumble ourselves at times. Like the parents of the man born blind in the Gospel of John, the man whose blindness Jesus healed, but being frightened that they would get kicked out of the synagogue that is canceled if they said that Jesus had healed their son, they refused to do so. That is, we become scared of what will happen to us if we in fact declare what are the excellencies of God within the world. So here, courage and wisdom is needed. Do we blurt out the obvious as young children tend to do before they learn social graces? Or must we pick and choose our battles? Well, by Jesus we're taught to pick and choose, aren't we? When we think not only of Zacchaeus, but of Jesus standing before Herod or Pontius Pilate, when it came to being directly challenged by the Pharisees and Sadducees and the leaders of the Jews as to what exactly the excellencies of the one who called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light were, well, that was another matter, was it? So daily, we're moved by the Holy Spirit to display the fruits of righteousness flowing from our hearts and souls, by approving of what is excellent. And the forgiveness which is ours in Jesus, which is there when we in our ignorance approve of that which we should not, the fact that we're forgiven daily and wondrously and richly should not point us to our mistakes and cause us to think that because we do make mistakes, that we should not even try to do. Martin Luther encouraged Philip Melanchthon to sin boldly. That's what he told him. Sin boldly. He was not encouraging Melanchthon to sin, but to realize that none of our actions ever are not tainted by sin in some way. And yet, knowing that we live daily in the forgiveness of Christ, we are to act. We are to do. And as far as our text is concerned, we act daily in knowledge and discernment by approving what is excellent. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.